You have your scriptures, please turn to the gospel according to Luke. We're in Luke 9 this morning, verses 37 to 48. If you want to use a pew Bible around you, page 867. For those that like to take notes, we'll be looking at a few other passages as well, parallel passages found in Matthew 17 and in Mark 9. I'll read those to you later on. I'll be away the next 2 weeks, and you'll have the blessing and privilege of hearing from John McCombs. Many of you know Reverend John McCombs. He was here as an intern for many years, and he's agreed to come and bless the next 2 Sundays while I'm away. And so you can pray for me, time of vacation and a week of study leave. And so I covered your prayers during that time as well. And so you get to hear some good preaching the next 2 weeks from John, so look forward to that. Last week, we had the mountaintop experience, for those who were with us, of seeing Jesus transfigured on the mountain, where his divine glory started to shine through his humanity, where Peter, James, and John were witness of these things. It was truly an experience, a taste of glory of what was to come for us for all eternity. And now this week, Jesus and the disciples come back down and enter the reality of the fallenness of the world. As they come back down, they will be met with evil, with people with a lack of faith, with hearts full of arrogant pride. It's living in the real world again. It's in this setting this morning that Jesus will remind us the importance of faith, of really believing him, of really trusting him for each moment, for each day. The importance of understanding his majesty, a majesty that's willing to lay down his life for sinners, and the importance of properly knowing how it is one can be great in this world and his kingdom. We'll read through our text this morning. I'll read through some of the other parallel passages as well to give us some insight. There's more dialogue in Matthew and in Mark as well. So let me pray and we'll read through our text in Luke. Father, Lord, at times as Peter cried out last week, it'd be good to stay on the mountaintop experience. But Lord, we live in a reality that's hard because of our own sin and selfishness, hard because of the fallenness and wickedness around us. And Lord, we need your mercies. We need your grace. And so Lord, each day, each morning, we need them. So Lord, these are things that we kind of recognize and we believe, but when rubber hits the road, when we come across issues and trials, we ask, you know, where is our faith? We believe, and Lord, we struggle with unbelief at the same time. And so, Lord, as we read through these texts this morning and we see ourselves in the lives of this Father and the disciples, Lord, teach us again to see your greatness and your mercies and your goodness. Teach us this morning as we long to hear your voice. In your name we pray. Amen. So Luke 9, we'll look at verses 37 to 48. It says, on the next day, meaning after the day of the transfiguration, they came down from the mountain and a great crowd met him. And behold, a man from the crowd cried out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he's my only child." Behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth and shatters him and will hardly leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon threw him to the ground and convulsed him. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And all were astonished at the majesty of God. But while they were all marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand this saying. It was concealed from them, and so that they might not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him anything about this saying. And an argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, he took a child and put him by his side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all, is the one who is great." Let me add just a couple of verses from Mark 9 and Matthew 17. If you recall, the gentleman goes to Jesus and begs him to see his son because the disciples weren't able to cast out this demon. And Jesus says to the father, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And immediately the father cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." That's in Mark 9, 23 and 24. And then later on in Matthew 17, verse 19, the disciples are asking Jesus privately why they couldn't cast out this demon. And Jesus says to them in Matthew 17, 20, he says, "Because of your little faith. Because of your little faith, I truly say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, 'Move here from there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible." And in Mark 9, 29, Jesus adds, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." But prayer. I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe we can all relate to the faith struggle of the father in this story, and as well as the disciples. For the father of the child, all seems hopeless. This demon has taken control of his son. He's being controlled by this demonic activity, and it seems nothing or no one can help. He believes in God, but he's not sure if God can or will do anything. We can all feel our faith grow small in those situations of tragedies, of fears, and helplessness. And I love this man's honest response when Jesus asked him, if you believe, all things are possible. And the father cries out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." It's a great admission. It's a great honesty. It's a prayer. "I believe in you." But sometimes it's hard. So this morning, as we walk through the text this morning, we'll see three prayer requests that I want us to have this morning. You'll see them in your sermon notes. First prayer request is, "Jesus, I want to believe that you can do more than I can ask or imagine." Second prayer request, "Jesus, I want to know the glory of your majesty even more." And the third prayer request is, "Jesus, help me to see that humility is the way to greatness. I believe. Help my unbelief." So the first one, "I want to believe that Jesus can do more than I can ask or imagine." The father comes to Jesus, "I beg you, come see my son. Your disciples can't cast out this demon." And Jesus answers in verse 41 of our text. He says, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you?" We struggle to know and to believe that Jesus can do more than we ask or imagine. Here we get a glimpse of Jesus being disheartened by the lack of faith, the twisted faith of the people around him, testing his patience in a sense. I thought I was a patient guy, and then I had children, and I learned how selfish I really was and impatient I really was. I can't imagine the patience of God. I can't imagine the patience of Jesus dealing with the souls of billions of people over the history of humanity, each second of every day. And here Jesus says, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you?" And it seems the comment's directed at the disciples. In Matthew 17, the disciples asked him, why couldn't we cast out this demon? He said, it's because of your little faith. Your faith is too small. You see, it was not long ago that Jesus had the disciples. He gave them his authority. He gave them his power to preach, to heal, and to cast out demons in the region of Galilee. And they drew it in such a way that Herod Antipas is shooken up, wondering what's going on in his region. So in the midst of using these things that Jesus gave them to use, they must have started thinking that the power resided in them, that came from them. It came from their abilities, their techniques, their efforts of ministry. They started to think it's what they did with Jesus, what Jesus gave them. It became faith in what they could do, not seeking continued help from Jesus. For when this man was brought to the disciples, they could not cast it out. He says, it's because of your little faith. And then in Mark 9:29, he says, it needs to be done by prayer. The disciples struggled with little faith and no prayer. The disciples relied on their efforts to use what Jesus gave them. They weren't even sure if what Jesus gave them was powerful enough to cast out this demon. They believed, but it was too small, and it was twisted. See, faith is having total dependence on Christ. He always must be the object of our faith, not a mixture of Christ plus something else. We mix our faith in Christ with other things, our efforts, our feelings, our superstitions, with other beliefs of society, and they don't mix. It's like trying to mix oil and water. They will not mix. Faith is not Christ plus techniques, Christ plus your ingenuity. It's faith in Christ and Christ alone for each day, for each struggle, whether good, whether bad. I love what Paul says in Ephesians 3:20. And it's where we get the prayer request. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. The disciples couldn't think they could cast out this demon. They couldn't think that Jesus could do more than what they ask or think. And we as Christians, as his people, one of our prayers, we need to ask Jesus. We want to believe Jesus. We want to believe that you can do more than we ask or think or imagine. To believe that you will accomplish your good and perfect will in our lives. To pray and believe that all things will work together for good as I trust and lean into Christ, no matter what comes, that he will do more than we can think or imagine in the situation. Jesus says, if you have the faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to mountains, and they will move. We forget, and we need to remember and pray that God is sovereign, that he's omnipotent, that he's good. We need to take our needs to him daily. We need to rely on him daily, trust in His power daily, not when just things arrive, not when hard situations arise. It's depending on Christ continually to get us through the situation, to get us through the test, to get us through the trial, to see that He will do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. That He is the God we can go to seek Him alone daily, to cast our burdens and worries on Him daily, to trust in this God who can do more than we can think or imagine. He is the God who raises the dead. He's the God who can take what men mean for evil and use it for good. He's the God who can save us from our sins. We need to pray. Help us to know, Jesus, You can do more than we ask or imagine, and that You're good, and that You can work in our situation. That You can take our hearts that are like rocks and full of sin and transform them into hearts of flesh that are malleable, that are willing to listen, to change, to fight off temptations, to fight off sin, to love those around me that seem so hard to love. That You can do more than we can ask or imagine. We believe, but we need Him to help us with our unbelief. Then the second request, Jesus, I want to know the glory of Your majesty even more. Jesus said, bring Your son here. While he was coming, the demon threw him on the ground and convulsed him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy, gave him back to his father. And all were astonished at the majesty of God. And Jesus said to the disciples, let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. The demon didn't want to let this one go. Satan tried to stay his hand on him, his grip on him. He didn't want to let go. But we see he was no match for Jesus. In Mark's account, in Mark 9:26, it says, after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out and the boy was like a corpse. And the people around him said, he's dead. And Jesus takes him by the hand and lifts him up and gives him back to his father. Jesus is more powerful than Satan's grip. You can imagine the scene of seeing such a setting of going on and this boy being delivered. And the crowd marvels at his majesty, his prominence, his greatness. And it's the same word, this majesty that Peter used to describe the transfiguration that we looked at last week in 2 Peter 1:16. It says, we saw his majesty on that holy mountain. And his majesty far exceeds more than what we can think or imagine. And your faith will grow when you understand his majesty more and more, that he is the Almighty, that he is the Alpha, the Omega, he is the bread of life, he is our Bridegroom, he is our deliverer, he is our Savior, he is our good shepherd, he is the I Am, he is the Emmanuel of God, he is the Lamb of God, he is the light of the world, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Messiah, resurrection and life, the way, the truth, and the life. He is all majesty. And when we know that, and when we grasp that more and more, I can cast all my cares, all my burdens on him. And Jesus tells them, this majesty is going to die. He says to them, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of men. The eternal, the beloved, the majestic one, he would feel his Father's wrath for our sin. The majestic one would be the sacrificial lamb to wash us clean, to free us from his grip. To free us from the grip of Satan. That he would grab a hold of us and hold on to us forever. Jesus, as he rescues us from Satan and his power. To know that there's no condemnation. And to give us life. Do we believe? Jesus says the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says, I've come to give you life. I'm the good shepherd, and I lay my life down for my sheep. And do you hear his voice? He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. They will never perish. I give them eternal life, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? Majesty died to redeem you. Your faith in Jesus, knowing that he is who he is in all his majesty and all his majestic glory, when your faith in him grows, when you understand these realities, it will get you through today. It will get you through the trials of tomorrow and the temptations and heartaches that come. His majesty that loves you. His majesty that's died for you. You anchor your faith into him, and he'll hold you through the storms of life. Romans 8 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, how will he not give us graciously all things we need, even for this moment, for the moments to come? Jesus, we believe. Help our unbelief. And our third prayer request is, Jesus, help us to see that humility is the way to greatness. It says in verse 46 of our text, an argument arose among them, which would be the greatest? And Jesus, knowing reasoning of their heart, took the child, put him by his side, and said, whoever receives this child in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who's least among you all is the one who is great. And in Matthew's text, he says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. It's strange. After everything that's transpired in this event, not being able to cast out this demon, and they asked why, and he says, because of their little faith, and they don't pray enough. The disciples begin to argue, which of them is the greatest? It's pretty weird. But I guess that's natural, in a sense, for humanity. When we fail, we start pointing the fingers of who's worse off, right? Well, at least I'm better than you, right? I'm better than you. I did cast out more demons than you did, though we couldn't cast this one out. They start arguing who's better. So Jesus takes a child. Says, you want to be great? You want to be great? You be like this child. You be willing to sit with children. You be as a child who's totally dependent on his parents for everything. You be like a child and you be totally dependent on me. And you be willing to sit and serve with children and the lowliest of society. I call it being willing to sit at the children's table at Thanksgiving. I don't know if you've had that experience. When we'd have Thanksgiving dinners, your house would be full and the children would be in their little small table so they could sit together and the adults could be over here. And I can remember as a child growing up and saying, at a certain age, boy, I can't wait because these guys are acting really childish and I want to be with the adults. I can remember that and long for that. And what Jesus is saying, that's okay. But I want you to understand, children are important. They are so important. I want you to be willing to go sit with them and talk with them. I want you to see yourself as needy as they are in relation to me. I want you to be willing to sit with them and talk with them, hear them, play with them, pray with them. Show them who I am. You want to be great. Become like a child. Sit with children. It's kind of what Jesus does with us, right? Jesus in all his majesty and all his glory enthroned in heaven, what's he do? Condescends. Comes to our earth to dwell among us, to sit with us and eat with us. You want to be great. You become a servant. We define greatness in our abilities and our efforts, our achievements, and who we hang around with. And Jesus says, greatness is knowing all things that have come in from Him, and you're willing to serve and care the youngest of society and the lowest of society, in which the world sees no greatness. Paul says in Philippians 2, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Don't look only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. We think if we're great, others will serve us. And Jesus says, you want to be great, you serve others. We think if we're great, others will serve us. Jesus says, you go serve others. Tony Evans, he writes a funny story. He says, A Boy Scout was on a plane with a pilot, a minister, and a computer whiz. And there was trouble on the plane, and the plane was beginning to dive. They realized they had to put parachutes on and jump, and the only problem was there was 3 parachutes for the 4 people. And the pilot came and said, well, look, I've got a wife and 4 kids. I need a parachute. So he took the parachute and he jumped. The computer whiz said, well, I've got all the knowledge that the world desperately needs for the 21st century. I can't have it die with me, so I need a parachute. So the computer whiz took a parachute and he jumped. And the minister took the little boy and said, well, look, I've lived a long life, a full life. You're just a young man. You take the parachute and I'll go down with the plane. And the little boy looked at the minister and said, Mr. Minister, don't worry about it. That brilliant computer whiz guy, he took my knapsack and thought it was a parachute. A lot of us are too smart for our britches or think we're too important than others. Humility goes a long way when we understand our place before Jesus and our love for one another. MacArthur writes, humility is the ground that receives the refreshing rain of God's richest blessing. It's the soil in which all other Christian virtues grow. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. At the proper time, he may exalt you. Isaiah 66, God says, all things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. And this is the one whom I look, he who's humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. My favorite psalm, Psalm 25, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. It's total dependency on the majestic Christ for all things and willing to walk with the youngest and lowliest of our society. I believe. Help my unbelief. May the Lord teach us again that He can do more than we can ask or imagine. That our faith would grow, that we would be people who pray, total dependency on Christ for all things. May He reveal to us His majesty, more and more a majesty that would love us and would die for us to redeem us on the cross. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. And to learn again to say with humility to depend on Him for everything and showing love to all around us. Jesus, believe. Jesus, we believe. Help our unbelief. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that You know our hearts. We thank You that You're so kind and so patient with us. Lord, help us to not only have a head knowledge of these things, but a will that truly desires to trust You, to believe in You, to know that no matter what comes our way, You are there, that You'll work out Your good and perfect will. Jesus, You're the majestic one who can die and save us from our sins. You're the one who has conquered the grave. If You can do all these things, You can get us through whatever we're facing. Lord, help us to believe these things. In your name we pray. Amen.